all these companies that are really striving, you know, to push for aquaculture, which I love aquaculture. I definitely think that's what the, you know, hobby is heading to eventually. Because, I mean, every, like, at some point, I feel like everyone's going to shut down and we're not going to be able to import anything. Yeah. That'd be really unfortunate, because I think that is still beneficial to the hobby and even beneficial to the reefs, you know? What's going on, guys? Levi Peterson here with another episode of the Coral Reef Talk podcast. And we're here with Joey Jones, as always.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Or almost Happy New Year. It's a new year coming up. 2024, Levi. Can you believe it?
That's insane. Time flies. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, this year just flew by. Name something that, like, in the reef aquarium world that, I don't know, that you remember from 2023, something that, I don't know, your favorite moment of 2023, if you will.
Favorite moment of 2023 in the hobby.
Yeah, or with your aquariums.
With my aquariums. I want to say my favorite moment with my aquariums this year was setting up the deep water reef behind me. I mean, that was super fun. It wasn't even really entirely planned that way, you know, because it was supposed to be Elizabeth's tank. But she ended up scaping it in such a way that I'm like, that'd be the perfect tank for gorgonian sponges, like soft corals. I mean, it was just such a beautiful scape for that. So she decided to let me do that. And then she got her own little nano tank. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. That was nice of her. She gave you the bigger tank. Yeah. But I mean, she's got a really cool tank with the clownfish going on in there and starting to take off.
Definitely.
But it is a new year. And for me, I guess one of my most exciting things about last year, very similar, we set up the 2 10-gallon tanks for the kids. And that's just been a blast watching all the little critters that we got from the Tampa Bay saltwater, live rock and live sand, and just watching the kids interact with their tank. My daughter wants to feed her fish like all the time. So it's really cool. And then of course my son got that cleaner shrimp, and he's always wanting to feed them too. So I'll give him like the little Nutrimar pellets that you can, like, they're soft, so you can pinch off a little bit and drop it into the tank. And I don't know, it's a lot of fun, like watching the kids just have a blast learning about the aquarium with the animals in their tank. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's so definitely cool, like watching Elizabeth, you know, with the tank and stuff, like kind of learning on her own, like exploring new things, you know, kind of engaging in the hobby a little bit. Because I mean, she's not entirely into like the hobby, but it's nice, you know, to see her appreciate it and kind of give it a shot herself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super cool. Anytime you can introduce a new reef fanatic into the hobby or get someone excited about having fish, you know, it's pretty awesome. So today we're going to be talking about some plans that we have, some, I guess, New Year's resolutions, maybe, if you will, around our aquariums. So yeah, let's just jump right into it. What's some plans you have for 2024?
We got a couple fish in there now. We got the little soap grouper, as well as a green wolf eel, which is technically a dottyback, but still super cool tank. Can't wait to share some more with that here soon. And then also this year, this is probably one of my biggest ones I'd like to kind of, you know, jump on. I really want to kind of get back into YouTube. I've been really struggling this past year, just kind of trying to find a schedule and stay as schedulized as I can. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It genuinely is. It's hard on time. Absolutely. And with me working in the industry, sometimes I do get burnt out. And the last thing I want to do, you know, is just start working on a YouTube video, because I'm just so exhausted, you know, from dealing with fish and coral all day. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love what I do, but it does definitely, it hits you at some point. You're like, man, like I'm exhausted. But this coming year, I really would like kind of like want to kickstart the YouTube channel again, get that going, and just be better about, you know, sharing my experiences. Because I mean, it's really not that hard. I can kind of work it into my schedule fairly easy. I feel like, you know, just recording certain aspects, like if I'm dealing with an issue, you know, mm-hmm. hit the record button, explain what's going on and how I'm going to take care of it, and just that sort of stuff, you know, to kind of help produce some content.
Yeah, absolutely. And for you, like, just jump right into it, man. I mean, you have so much knowledge to share with everyone. I mean, you are in it. You are doing the thing with corals. You know a lot about the industry. You're working the industry, so you have a lot of knowledge to share. And your videos that you have put out are very encouraging and very awesome. So, yeah, I look forward to watching more of your content. So, yeah, I will definitely try and keep you on track with putting out some videos. So, and I'm sure all the reef fanatics here at the Coral Reef Talk would love to see more of your content too.
All right. What you got going for us?
So for me, I would say I want to clean up the 125 a little bit. I've been kind of just letting things grow and kind of see what happens. And I have some zoanthids that have just overgrown a big portion of the reef. They've covered up the sand bed. And when I initially set up the tank, I wanted that tank to have like a clean, bare sand bed to put a few more LPS corals on, maybe get like a nice brain coral or like, some plate corals or something down there on the sand bed, rather than just having a bunch of zoas or palaeozoas take over the entire sand. So I'm going to be cleaning that up this year. That's the main goal for the beginning of the year, get that thing cleaned up and looking nice. And then I would say I'm excited to add more corals to the 10-gallon tanks.
Okay.
And then just explore more with the 10-gallon tanks. So adding more water flow in there and just seeing what those do overall.
Yeah, definitely. Fun stuff.
Yeah. And then, of course, I want to thank all of the reef fanatics here that listen to the podcast and watch the Coral Reef Talk YouTube channel. We have grown over 2,000 new reef fanatics in the past year. So welcome. And it's awesome to have you guys here. Thank you so much for being a part of the Coral Reef Talk family and watching and listening to the podcast. It means a lot. It really does. Yeah. Don't forget about the huge giveaway. Reef Nutrition is giving away $200.
Reef Nutrition has proudly donated a $200 online e-gift card to whoever wins this giveaway. We're going to pretty much just do what we've been doing. You know, comment below, comment "We love Reef Nutrition" or "I love Reef Nutrition." You'll be randomly selected, and then we'll get you in contact with Reef Nutrition to get your gift card.
The winner will be randomly selected the week after this episode, so you want to make sure you are entered into that giveaway for the $200 Reef Nutrition e-gift card.
And now we're jumping into our scientific segment.
What do you got for us?
Today we have the Golden Cuban Basslet, or Gramma DeYoungi. I believe I pronounced that right, but please correct me if I'm wrong. Yes.
Nice.
So super unique. We did the Royal Gramma last week, and I kind of wanted to throw in a close cousin. It's called a Cuban Basslet because it only originates out of Cuba. There's only a few different reefs where it's actually been witnessed in the wild. So I'm really not even entirely sure on the story on how they were imported into the U.S. for like captive breeding. Probably should have looked into that a little more before, you know, throwing this out there. But I know Biota is captive breeding them, which is mm-hmm. really cool. Super pretty, super rare. They're expensive. But if you can get your hands on one of these, it's definitely a cool fish to have because you just don't see them. You know, they're just different. And it's almost, I feel like, almost a legit reverse of the Royal Gramma in color, like quite literally almost.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you got the resemblance of the Royal Gramma there on the belly and then just complete yellow. So
completely, yeah.
It's pretty awesome looking fish. And Biota is doing some pretty good stuff there, like captive breeding all of these different species and everything.
Yeah, all the aquaculture facilities. There's just so much new species that they're aquaculturing.
Yeah.
You got like the copper band butterfly recently. One of the companies did. I mean, all these companies that are really striving, you know, to push for aquaculture, which I love aquaculture. I definitely think that's what the, you know, hobby is heading to eventually. Because, I mean, at some point, I feel like everyone's going to shut down and we're not going to be able to import anything. Yeah. That'd be really unfortunate because I think that is still beneficial to the hobby and even beneficial to the reefs, you know, and to the local communities around those reefs that are doing the collecting and using that money as a resource, you know, to help build up their communities. Because a lot of the like reefing communities over there communities that are localized around reefs in the ocean that use like, you know, fish and even corals to export, you know, to help benefit the communities, you know, as far as money. It's a good source of money for them.
A job for them, and it brings in income to help support their families. So, yeah, definitely.
And, I mean, they have all the CITES, you know, they have limits. I mean, it's all, it's pretty well done, you know. They keep good track of it. And all the reports recently on corals and even fish populations have been coming in really good. So, I mean, I hope like we'll be able to import corals and fish for quite a bit longer because it's going to be definitely challenging once it all shuts down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the way the hobby's going with the aquaculture and stuff. I just can't wait to see, you know, what happens. I mean, it's going to be interesting in the next few years to see what exactly happens with all of it.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to thank our channel sponsor for the podcast, and that is Printed Reef. Printed Reef is providing 3D printed solutions for your reef aquarium. And they do that by providing things like the sand stand and these coral holders and even mushroom cages like this. And they have many more products to offer you over at printedreef.com. And if you're a subscriber to the Coral Reef Talk, you can go over to printedreef.com/thecoralreeftalk and use the discount code to save 10% off your purchase. So you can use the code The Coral Reef Talk at checkout, and that is going to save you 10% off of your Printed Reef products. The link and the discount code will be down in the description below or the show notes here on the podcasting platform. If you're watching this on the video podcast, you'll be able to see the products that I'm holding up right now. If you're listening, check out the show notes for more information. So we've talked about some plans that we've had. Is there anything that we, any mistakes we've made in 2023 that we don't want to carry over into 2024, or anything that you want to do better with your reef aquarium?
Let's see. I mean, one thing I did pretty relatively well in 2023 was actually maintaining my systems. I struggled with that in previous years, you know, just keeping up and keeping on a schedule with them. But I really did well this past year, you know, on keeping up with them doing water changes, and I'm hoping I can do the same this year. Just keep it all on the schedule and try to my best, you know, to do my water changes, scrub the tanks, you know, keep them clean. It helps on the weeks where you're super busy and you have no time. You know, you already had a water change in the week before, so it's like, okay, I can skip a week. You know, I got a lot going on.
Yeah.
One thing I would like to change that I did last year, I want to say, like, I don't want to downgrade, but adding a bunch of tanks, you know, it added to all the like, the maintenance and the stress of like making sure everything's done.
Yeah, that would do
so, I want to add more tanks, but I don't think I'm going to do it. Like, I can't. I don't think so. I'm going to try to maintain what I have and do the best that I can, you know, to keep these tanks looking really good. And, you know, use each little tank as a different ecosystem to kind of, you know, share with the world, you know. So,
Yeah, very cool. I mean, for me, I would have to say that one big thing that I always seem to get really lax about is cleaning the coralline algae off of my tank's glass.
Yeah.
So I need to do better at that this year, because once it starts growing in the corner, like where the silicone is connecting the glass, like that's when it gets a little challenging to get rid of. I mean, you got to get in there with a razor blade and really chip that away and try not to hit any of that silicone. But yeah, I mean, I definitely got to do better about cleaning that up. I mean, I have the flipper magnets that I use, and I'm usually pretty good about getting the sides of the aquarium.
Yeah,
for whatever reason, just the corners, man, they're, I just let them go. I need to.
So like on the Caribbean tank, I had that, like, I want to say either the beginning of last year or even the year before in 2022, like I'd let the back of the system, you know, get covered in coralline, and I really didn't think anything of it. Mm-hmm. But like once coralline runs out of room, you know, to like grow outwards, like expand, it'll start building. Like it starts like building up. And so I let it build up so much that when I finally decided that, okay, I need to like start scraping this off, and like it was such a mess. I had to like do big water changes like a couple times a week. I spent a whole week just kind of like spending an hour every day trying to just get as much off as I can and siphoning it out, because it was just a mess. I mean, it's all these pieces just fall into the ground, and there's big chunks that I'm trying to like, you know, get out of the tank. So it was just a mess. But now that I finally got it all off, I'm trying to keep up with it better and, you know, just keep it clean. I still let the back get away with like just regular algae, but once the coralline starts to build up, you know, I try to knock it off relatively quickly.
Gotcha.
I try to focus on, you know, the fronts and the sides of the tank where you're going to be, you know, viewing it from. But
I mean, the back, I kind of let that go as well, like you're talking about, but I try not to let it get super thick where it's massive chunks or anything. But yeah, definitely the front and the side I need to be more concerned about this year. So, and then another thing would be salt creep down in the sump, letting salt creep build up, and then just instead of cleaning it out, I tend to knock it off of the sump. I'm revealing a lot. Sump area's dirty.
I've never done that.
Yeah, just keeping up with that. Like, instead of just knocking the salt creep off, how about I get down there and really clean it up this year? Make sure I keep it clean.
Yeah, I've been trying to, you know, keep my sump relatively clean. Like, obviously, it's a sump. You want it to be, you know, kind of dirty and removing all the nutrients and stuff. But it gets to a point where I'm like, okay, I got to like take this out and scrub it down a little bit, remove some of these like detritus that's starting to settle in here. But like you were showing me a couple episodes ago about like some vacuum or something that I need to get. I need to try to get that this year. That'll probably save me a lot of time and a lot of headache.
Yeah, for sure. So Vivid Creative Aquatics makes the little vacuum, and you hook it up to like a maxi jet pump.
Yeah.
And you get in there and vacuum up that detritus and gunk in your sump. So
I got to get one of those.
Yeah. I think it's worth it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then one more thing I want to mention that I would like to do better this year and try to strive for is just, you know, showcasing. It kind of goes in with, you know, the YouTube, but just showcasing all of my systems. You know, I tend to like recently I've been ramping about like the Deep Reef and the Caribbean Reef just because I'm always like, I'm super excited about them. But I got like six other tanks, you know, that are just sitting here. They're doing really well. And, you know, showing the process of like what's going on in the tanks and such and what I have in those tanks. So I'd like to, you know, just be better about showcasing everything because, I mean, I got a lot of tanks and a lot of different ecosystems I could showcase.
Yeah.
I just want to be better about that. So,
yeah, that'd be cool.
Definitely.
Happy New Year's, everyone. All you reef fanatics out there, welcome to 2024. Thank you so much for watching and listening to the podcast. We just wanted to talk about some of our things that we are going to take into the new year and just strive to do better and just share some of that with you in this episode. Yeah. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you in the next one.
See ya.